I say it's Kirsty Neat and Rupert Gaze and Martin Austwick in Ramsey on the 1st of May 1996, working on the Eric Austwick archive.
To survive on that and the market yard. We used to sell flowers to the shops in Ramsey, the hotels in Ramsey. And it seems, they must have been living on, grandfather had investments, but they must have been fairly substantial. They had all these shares in the Hung Hau Railway, which was worthless, of course, now. Chinese government's got a great big thing. It still strikes me as being very, very handsome now. So it looks like Eric took quite a few of the photographs, doesn't it?
Not
in
any of them.
No. He always used to say that the photography had finished the artist off. Finished off art. Before photography, artists had a purpose.
So do you think he always saw himself as an artist?
Oh yeah, I think so. Ever since he was... I think so, yeah. I think even when he was a relatively... I think an artist is self-definition, isn't it? You're an artist. If you say you're an artist, and that's what you focus your life on, and that's what you focus. If you do that to the exclusion of other things, and what an artist do is the exclusion of family and money, don't they? You're an artist. You might be absolutely appalling, but you're an artist.
And what you produce
as well. Yeah, nobody can take that away from you. And I think he was fascinated by it. He didn't like cameras, but he did actually grudgingly admit they had a purpose, and it does look as if he took an awful lot, as if he might have taken quite a few photographs. Because my dad used to use a camera, my dad took quite a few, so Eric must have taken quite a lot. Do you want to go flick through, because I'm taking the tape these back, I'm actually desperate. Do you want to go look through them?
Nature.
I think nature's a big, and the crosses and this. I think being on your own focus, not really to play with, and I think be having quite poor health and having an opportunity to look at these things and speculate and dream and perhaps other things. I suppose perhaps my neighbours have talked to me as well, and they did get some, they did read some books, which I've got an article that broke the newspaper, which basically wrote me, studying overcooked, you know, that sort of thing that boys are supposed to do with it. So and those crosses, they're sort of, it's difficult to know, isn't it, how somebody's mind works, but they've got figures on some of them, haven't they? And you wonder what on earth they're all about. And they wouldn't have been that nice, neat little cross house, then, would they be scattered about?
So it's sort of like the intrigue of not really knowing what they represent, but knowing there's something there, something more to it,
yeah.
That stayed with him.
I think so, yeah. I think he was desperately keen on the 20th century, really. So maybe it's a thing. A tangible link, aren't they, with something that's been before, that's been, I mean, until the written word or whatever, it's all speculation, isn't it? There's no, there's nothing really, is there? And the carving of a stone, there could have been a vast, rich array of clothes and domestic objects, but all that is left are the crosses, isn't there? So, well, I don't know if you thought that, but I wonder if you thought this is some tangible link with another way of life. I don't know, it's all speculation.
So, did you see much of
them?
Young, did you?
Yeah, I used to see quite a lot of them, because they came to live back in Manchester when I was quite small, and they lived with us for about a few months. And they, went, they lived in several houses near where we lived, and used to go around perhaps to see them once or twice a week, because my father's brother, obviously, so they wanted to see each other, and when you're small, that's good. It was quite, you know, he wasn't a very child-centred man, but he was interesting to children, and he made me a force out of it, so he enjoyed the picture. And he's always things in the house to look at, always pictures and always books. Who wants to do books? A project at school, go around and probably have one. Always books to look at with pictures in, because he reviewed books a long time. There's always piles of books and some stuff that was quite new, you know, and did books on nature. It was a good place to go. And then there'd be some of these other places. One of the mosaic, that was a great. Big piles of mosaic chips in the cellar, and could play around with those.
So did
you
live with his mum and dad?
Yeah,
back in Manchester.
Mum and dad, yeah, all the time, yeah. Certainly my dad died with his mother, and so. And I saw quite a bit of him.
Who did he ever talk to you about the Isle of Man?
Oh, yeah, he was always talking about the Isle of Man. That was a perpetual subject. It was always about the Isle of Man, and my father, and always telling me about the Italian bits of stories. But he never mentioned the crosses much. But you'd see the pictures around the house. Very keen on dancing as well, folk dancing. Lots of folk dance pictures. Lots of pictures of dancing, lots of pictures of crosses. But he never particularly mentioned that to me. We did it in the Manalan Trophy, which was in the museum. And I remember him doing that, I was older then. That was a big project. And he had to find out about lost wax casting. And he made a, what did he call it, a cat in clay. A lot of time on that. And that was quite a thing. We were talking about that a lot.
Did he say what he wanted it to represent to the other?
A bit dodgy, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a dodgy subject.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he wanted it to be, it was to be the trophy, wasn't it? The trophy for the contribution to the Manx art. That was the purpose of it. But I wouldn't. Guard You, Guard You Guys. There's also some letters that Eric's written, and I don't know what the people said to Eric, didn't it? So it's been a bit of a noble area in some respects. Sense of humour, isn't it? There's all these animals are all very humorous, sort of. He's a fairly dour individual really to talk to, but quite humorous in these. Obviously there's people express themselves in different ways, obviously.
Yes, it's quite
cheap
when you're saying about your father
working in his camp. Yeah. Yeah, my dad was probably wasn't much like Eric at all, I don't think.
Really?
Well, I think you find out that your sisters were a different town. It's unusual to get them the same. You wonder why they are so different. That's quite an interesting thing. But they were very different. Obviously, they had quite light insurance company, I think.
So, was your father really still outgoing?
Yeah, he was, but he became ill. He had a brain tumour that happened when I first started when I was about 89. So, in fact, that was sort of curbed in a way. But when they were younger, they must have been very different. He was very keen on the amateur theatrical, where he was, I think, more students. Yeah. Both great readers. Eric was incredibly well read. And things that, you know, John Buchan and Dickens or ancient, you know, British, sort of early literature, obviously the Penguin, I think the Penguin paper got around, but you know what I mean, the range and the books, and the range of the books, he liked thrillers, and you know, he could, he seems to have read almost, you know, anything.
What about
the
Celtic legends, what
did you read from those? Mona Douglas was his friend, and she wrote various books on the Celtic legends, didn't she? And they're illustrated by Eric. There's the one Islanders, which the museum should have a copy of that table for. And there's lots of the originals, which is worth around, is in there. So, and amongst these books, there's quite lots of books on Celtic legends. Well, there's the things that were the Mona's books and stuff that he illustrated. That's me down on that side, definitely. That's Eric there. That's grandfather, that's grandmother. I don't know who's presumably neighbours. I think those are either Selby or Moore. That might be Morley, actually. Back up to some of the sheets in the shop, the back of the shop. And that might be Lincolnshire, it's a bit further on, doesn't it? They must have moved about an awful lot, and they had this, they always had piles of books, I don't know if they survived, you know, sort of thing. sense of the ancient world, that, you know, that people say, well, all these primitive things, you know, sort of Vandanic thing, they must have influenced by God because they were here then everywhere. In fact, you would just spread an idea of how very widely travelled, very resourceful, and say the sense of that sort of thing. But the 20th century wasn't this sort of apex of civilization, and the people had been very the other stages of civilization have been sort of equally valid and important.
People have been there before.
Yeah, that's right. Been well organised, been so on, you know, able to cope with those. It's fine art should have no commercial purpose whatsoever, so you shouldn't paint the pictures for anything. You should paint them because of what you want to paint, I think. You know, it wasn't self-expression either, you know, it was something deeper.
Yeah, I remember reading this statement from Michael
go along and sort of feel his way along the shelf and pull the book out and find a page. I think he could see sort of individual letters and words, but he couldn't sort of scan to read. But you know, you could actually pick out things, but you obviously have trouble with actually reading it, so as you get pleasure out of it, if you like. But I think you like to handle the book, you can see that.
How did his
failure
affect his work?
I think probably quite considerable. What happened was that all the later stuff, since he came back to the island, whatever it was, 15 years ago, it was all reworked. This credit that's actually original, it's all reworked of earlier things. And he could see, I think it was like a tunnel, I think he could probably see like a circle. So you couldn't actually stand back and look at the picture, you could look at the bit of the picture. So, and he couldn't use just distance, so he could use a pencil but not a brush. Because a brush obviously was scratchy. So there was that. He'd actually draw, I mean, he could still draw, because once when he was ill in bed, and the mother sent him some chocolates over the Isle of Man, he sent her this cartoon of him in bed, which is quite sort of, it's obviously drawn with some difficulty, it's very shaped, it's very funny. Quite rude, he just sort of said, yeah, I don't want any chocolates, I'm sick, yeah. But he sent her this, and this person, I think it's probably a copy of it now somewhere. So he could actually draw, but he'd draw like in bits, so it wouldn't be... Yeah, that's right.
So most of the things that he worked on next were from earlier.
Yeah, but we've got add-ons, even this would... photocopy and then some whitening over the top and then a bit drawn on top of that sort of thing.
You said
that
he owned a photocopy
album? Yeah, it was there, but he's been setting up the effects from the house.
So he always used it
and knew about, you know, different sorts of copy that reduce the size of the line, but each copy of the line gets thinner, doesn't it? And it'll tell you what Xerox would do and whatever. And also the people who go to the printers for them, and the printer who do it, and this sort of thing, yeah.
Who did he distribute them to?
He distributed them to, there was, my mother always got them, which is, I don't know quite why, because I don't think my mother ever particularly got on well together. They always sort of struggled with each other, you know, like, she friends, he had a great friend in Northumberland, Chesley Wright, so his dad, because he died not long after. I think he always got a coffee. And there were other people on the island. There was Clark and Ella, I don't know that she got one as well. And I think he used to go, no, this one was a Tara. Tara Crapp, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah,
Mona
Douglas, yeah.
So it was quite a small group of
friends, yeah.
People
that
had similar ideas.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think anybody who wanted one probably have one. I think if you asked him for one, you'd get one. We seem to be like on the mailing list, they'd all come at a particular time, I get them, and they'd get one back at the same time.
And again, they were combinations of designs
Yeah, that's right. I don't know whether the poems are original or not. Really. Some are undoubtedly other people's, because he credits other people with it. Some might be his, some might be known as mine.
How does he know
Duckett
Lawson? Do you know much about their friendship?
I think they probably went to. It goes back a long way. I think they probably went to art school together. In the radio program talks about them having ideas and the challenges to do a particular sort of painting and so times. And Ducky talks about growing up on the they lived at Baldoon after Ballardure, which is about a mile from the railway station in Leipzig. And so Ducky would go home on the car, go up and see them at the house and then get the last one back. Down the hill, you could imagine this sort of thing. And he got on very well with my grandfather, so it was like that's what they were like. Adolescence or what.
So Eric went to the Douglas Art School?
Yes.
Was he taught by Mark?
So? Yeah, supposed to have been, yes.
Did he
ever
give their opinion
on that? Oh, I think he thought Mark was wonderful. I think he really thought Mark was the one. Yes. I mean, how long he was taught by Knox for how long, but people can actually have an influence on you in quite a short space of time, can't they? Because you actually start, when you've actually, if you go through the charisma, you'll read the stuff for him and kind of things. Obviously, the picture of him, did you see? Yeah. And, Doris was taught and went to the classes as well, Doris, so she didn't like him. I think she said once that if you hadn't been wearing glasses, they'd hit you or something like that, or take your glasses off. It's sort of more advanced form of teaching that we've had. Yeah, I mean, I think, yes, so, it must have been Eric, and Eric could draw, if there's any doubt about it, Eric could certainly draw very well. So you've probably got that. But yes, he always talks about it.
Sold out, but
he
did go off and do stuff
for Liberty,
did you know, get the same thing about that?
He had a book, Knox, book on Knox with all the Liberty. Yeah, and he got a book on New World Art, which he got some Knox. I don't think he did. Because Knox came back to the island, didn't he? He came, it was later on, wasn't it, when he came back? He'd done the Liberty stuff. No, he never said to me he'd sold out. And he seemed to quite admire the Liberty bits and pieces, because I remember he sent me a book on Out in the World once with a little sort of book with four knots. I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, to know how people's minds work,
yeah.
But you wonder if perhaps you can't sell, so if you can't sell things, people don't take it commercially, so I don't want to sell it in the first place. You know, I know he could have just been for him himself.
His art stand out, not selling, not being commercial. That could have just been that he applied to himself and applied that to other people.
Yes, maybe so, yeah. That might be that, yeah, that he had that sort of. But I think we all compromise ourselves well in different ways just to make life work for us in that. You think, hang on, it's just pretty self-value system. actually get offers to do things, you know, from, you reckon an oil company wants to offer them some risk with oil drillings, and I suppose perhaps by that he formed the set of beliefs and was into people definitely doing that. But I think you did become quiet. I think the losing the sight and the poor health and not being able to get around, and I think he did actually get quite bitter. I think he lost friends as time went on, you know, and that he might be aware of some of these twists and difficulties. You know, I fell out of the museum and this didn't take a good
It's alright. Yeah.
I fell out of the museum. And fell out with various people. And I've got this correspondence about the trophy. I think there's somebody altered the trophy, didn't they? I think it's been altered. I think he felt I should have been without his permission. He was probably right, but he didn't actually work around.
Is that why he fell out?
I think that was one of the rules that people should put in the world. Even if you don't own it anymore. It's still your
copyright.
That's right, yeah. There's something about it, isn't there? I don't know.
I think that could technically be true.
Yeah.
The study photographs, just because you saw some photograph, it's still your.
Yeah. Yeah, there's protocols, isn't there, whether or not they're actually part of the law or not.
Well, it's a piece of art.
Yeah. That's right, I just aimed at this area, not quite that, yeah. Yeah, it's about somebody, I don't know who it was, it could be something like Virginia Woolf or somebody, all showing the nose and the Augustus John's wearing, perhaps it looked right. Yeah. Do you want to have a look through the stuff? Because I suppose I'm a bit conscious of, you know, not really. I mean, the thing is that what I can do is I'll give you my home phone number and work phone, whenever you want to give me a ring, I'm quite happy to chat to you.
Yeah, because as you're going through the material,
if
there's any questions that you have, or you know, anything that you don't quite understand, put them together and we can just get in touch with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I think the best way for us to sort material is by subject, because as I remember going through, you know, a lot of the working sketches feed into this final piece,
yeah,
which is then reworked and
yeah,
reworked. But if we do group them in subjects and have sort of different parts of different, because they do, the works vary so much between the cartoon and drawings they did in Manchester, some of the buildings that he did in Manchester, the interlaced work, all the preparatory drawings from the interlaced work,
yeah,
the illustration that he did. Mona Douglas's books and her folk dance articles. And then just general, did he do general book illustrations as well?
I think he probably did, didn't he?
Because there seemed to be a lot of
them. I think he might have done, yeah. I'm not actually sure about that. He was always trying to get work for comics, as he's written up to, got some correspondence with, you know, like the Hotspur Press or whatever. So he's trying to get work for comics. Children's books. I think he would have liked to have done that. Whether we actually ever managed to get into it, I don't know really. Yeah. The things in there look like book illustrations. Might emerge if you put it. I suppose it probably makes sense to group by subject, doesn't it? Because if you need to subdivide by chronology for a particular issue, you can always do that, can't you? Well, the subject is probably the most important thing to the artist in a way, isn't it?
Exactly.
Particularly in his case, yeah.
Because there are so many different types as well, within the interlaced, the subjects are quite clear, and the characters that
you're
trying to illustrate.
Yeah.
You found already the folder of the series of the parishes by the Royal Norwegian School. There are loads of preparatory drawings for those.
With your exhibiting, you always want to have all the preparatory work with the work while you're working.
Yeah. If anyone wanted to come and look at his at the archive, look at his work, that would probably help them to look at how to develop.
Dawson might be very difficult to actually do it. Difficult to date things, I think, isn't it? Particularly if they're in the 20th century, or you know what I mean? There's not an awful lot of variations to the materials that people use, or whatever.
I think if you could send us the list of dates from the internet publications,
yeah,
that would help.
Well, I'll try and work it out. It was purely non-commercial, purely for people that he liked. I think he did say, didn't he, on the in the the broadcast. I think Duckett said something about interlace. The idea was that it was supposed to draw in people who represented Manx art, and it was supposed to be Duckett was and Eric. Tara, this woman's name, Tara Kraft, anyway, seemed to know her, and somebody else, and they were going to produce things, they never actually come together.
So what broadcast is this?
There's a programme on radio, on Manx radio, that, and I contributed to Duckett, and that was in, just after Eric died. Tape recording of it if you want to. Yeah, I'm sure the Manx Radio wouldn't get upset at that.
No, well, they don't keep anything, so they wouldn't have it.
Yeah,
just scrub it all off and start again.
right, okay, I'll get your tape anyway.
Brilliant. Because Duckett died last year,
I think Eric's two best friends died just after he did, this man who he wrote to extensively in Cumbria. So that's not very well.
It'd be possible to borrow one to make a copy of it, because I don't think we've got anything.
Yeah.
I don't know whether which one would be best. Or maybe if we could borrow both and then make copies, and then I can send them back to you.
Fine, I think those. I don't know. I think those are the two best pictures that there are of him.
Right.
And he's still relatively young.
So, as far as I know, we might have, but it's always good to have.